Hey there, I'm so pumped to tell you about an amazing new community I've launched called Grief to Growth Circle Community. It's a space for people who are grieving to come together to support each other and for people who want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going to have those conversations, all the things we talk about on the podcast. So I invite you to join me at grieftogrowth.com/community to become part of this compassionate crew. The best part is 100% free. And you have access to me in addition to everybody else in the community. In fact, the podcast will be there so you can talk about the things we talk about in the podcast right there in the community. There's also some premium content if you want to go deeper in the work I'm doing, but mostly it's about building relationships and community and about sharing resources and supporting each other. So come on over and check it out. It's grieftogrowth.com/community. I'll see you inside.
Hi there. Welcome to the Grief to Growth podcast. Your host is Brian Smith, spiritual seeker, grief survivor, and life coach. Brian believes that the worst tragedies of life provide the greatest opportunity for growth. Brian says he was planted, not buried, and he's here to help you grow where you've been planted. In each episode, Brian and his guests will share what has helped them to survive and thrive. His sincere hope is that this episode helps you today.
And now, a brief word from our sponsor. When I decided I was going to do a podcast, I knew there were more moving parts than most people expect. How do you record a podcast? Where do you host it? How much will it cost? Do I need special software? How do I distribute it? All these questions were in my mind. I was all set to go with another podcast hosting company. Then I heard about Anchor. I believe that Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need in one place. You can use it right from your phone or from your computer. Anchor is not only free, you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Anchor's creation tools allow you to record and edit your podcast so it sounds great. They'll even distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard everywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's Anchor, ANCHOR.FM, as in FM radio. And now, back to our episode. This week's episode is with Heidi Craig. I met Heidi just a little while ago. Someone recommended her. They had seen one of my videos on YouTube and said, you should interview Heidi Craig. And when I looked up her video, I realized I'd seen it probably over a year ago. Heidi's story is very fascinating in that she had a near-death experience in 2004 after the birth of her youngest son, and she came back with three very important life lessons for herself and for everybody, and she shares them in the interview. So I hope you enjoy it. This is Heidi Craig. Also, I fumbled the name of her book in the introduction. There was a typo on my notes. It's Messages from Heaven, the little book of affirmations based on the true story of a near-death experience and the messages received. It's by Heidi Craig. It's available on Amazon. Hi, everybody. This is Brian with Grief to Growth back with you again today. And today I'm fortunate to have with me Heidi Craig. And Heidi, I'm going to read her introduction, then we're just going to have a conversation. Heidi Craig had a near-death experience on May 29th in 2004 after having her youngest son. Her heart stopped while she was in the OR and she woke up in heaven, or what she likes to call home. She says there are no words to truly express the feelings of love, joy, peace, warmth, and contentment that she experienced. She received three messages over and over again. She's going to share those with us today because it's because of those messages that she wants to share her story and spread the messages of peace and love that she received. She experienced a lot of challenges since her NDE occurred, including getting divorced, being laid off three times within 7 years, experienced financial hardships, and at one point she thought that she was going to live out of her car. But the gift of her NDE and the messages she received helped get her through all of those rough times. And she no longer fears death, and she knows that we are all one, we are connected, and our souls live on. Heidi has written a book of affirmations that was in December of 2017 that was based on her NDE, and that book is called Messages from Heaven, the little book of affirmations based on the true of a near-death experience. Heidi's goal is to help at least one person, and Heidi, I know you've already helped many people. Heidi lives in Solvang and has three loving and healthy, handsome sons, and she works as a credit analyst. So with that, I want to welcome Heidi Craig. Heidi, I really appreciate you doing this. We had a little technical difficulty, but we got through it. You're up early on a Saturday morning, so I appreciate you giving back by doing this.
Oh, definitely. And Brian, thank you. I'm really honored to be on your show. So thank you for having me.
Well, I've done a few of these interviews with near-death experiencers. I had seen your video that you did with Anthony Chain. I'm not sure how his name is pronounced. I actually saw that video a couple of years ago, and someone was looking at one of my videos and said, "You've got to get Heidi Craig on," and they sent me a link to the video. I'm like, "I've seen her before," so I was like, "You know, that's a sign. I got to get her on." So I appreciate you doing it.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So, in the introduction, we talked about what led to your near-death experience in 2004 was the birth of your son, and we'll get into that. But before we could do that, maybe you could set a little background and tell us about your life.
Sure. I do, Phil. I mean, and we talked about this a little bit before we started the show. But for me, and it came through to you, I believe, from watching the interview, that it is important for me to share my life before my near-death experience, and it's important for me to share my life after my near-death experience, just because, you know, I've had challenges, I've had loss, and, you know, I feel for me, it's the reason why, to help me get through those challenges, those traumatic times, those losses, why I was able to, or why I was given the gift to go back home and experience home again and reconnect with my soul self. Mm-hmm. So it's important for me to share a little bit about my life before and then what happened afterwards as well. Yeah. So I had a challenging childhood. My father is a convicted pedophile. He is in prison for 44 years. That was the maximum sentence in the state that he was convicted in at that time. And he's due for release, I believe, in 20 of 36. So I grew up in a household where I was traumatized. It wasn't just me. There were multiple victims of his. Mm-hmm. But that's a hard and challenging childhood to go through. You know, you don't realize the effect it has on you until later you're an adult. And you learn and you understand that that was not okay. And, that was bad. So I had a childhood that was challenging. Mm-hmm. From going into my childhood into a marriage that was an abusive, challenging marriage, not knowing any better, and just, you know, in those patterns over and over again. Mm-hmm. So growing up with that, having that responsibility, having that burden, knowing that my father was a predator, and then him being, sentenced and convicted as a child molester. It was a challenging time in my life. And so that was my upbringing. And, growing up without a lot of, a role model or a family support, mm-hmm. kind of doing it on my own, like drifting on my own and trying to figure things out, I always felt, protected. I always felt a presence around me. Mm. I did start separating. So I was baptized Catholic, but I was raised Lutheran. And I started separating from the church, I would say at around high school age. Mm. And there was just too much hypocrisy for me. I didn't understand. I was being preached. I was being taught one thing, but I was seeing things going on. You know, the pastor was having an affair. You know, we were told to give up 20% of our paychecks, but my parents were my mom was barely getting by. So I didn't understand. It didn't make sense to me. It's like, well, I don't understand this. So I started separating. Things that were just being taught to me didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so I started separating from the church. But even though I was separating from the church, I always had this sense. I always knew that there was something, someone, a presence around me. And I always felt safe, even though, you know, my circumstances were maybe not the greatest. Yeah. So I always had that sense, that connection there, that I knew that there was a greater power or higher source that I was a part of, and that I was protected and I was surrounded. Hmm. So I knew that. So when I had my near-death experience, and it was after I gave birth to my third son, I didn't know then, but it's called retained placenta. And it's when the, you know, after you give birth to your child, then you have to give birth to the placenta. And the placenta was not coming out. And so it was getting dire. It was a situation where I was starting to bleed out. Mm-hmm. So they had to take me into the operating room to remove the placenta. And, you know, I remember when I was being wheeled in, just how surreal everything was. And it was different. It didn't look like what you see on TV. And I just had this immediate thought that it wasn't right, that there's just something not right here. It was just a knowing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go to sleep. You know, when they, the anesthesiologist puts the oxygen mask and tells you to count backwards from 100. And I was fighting that. I was counting, but I'm like, don't, you can't fall asleep. You can't go to sleep. And then, you know, you can't fight that. And boom, I was out.
Right.
And when I woke up, I was in this beautiful, all-encompassing, golden white. And it was golden white. We don't have the color here. We don't have the vocabulary. And I was bathed in it, and I was surrounded in this light, and it was the most comforting, serene. It was the happiest, the most peaceful that I had ever felt. You know, take your best day. Go back to your happiest memory when you were at your happiest. Go back to the memory where you were at your content, you know, the most content in your life. Go back to that memory when you were just, you know, the most peaceful. Take those memories and you magnify them by a billion times. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was in. That's the energy that I was in. And, you know, it's like when you find your center, when you can just breathe and you know everything's going to be okay. And, you know, you know you're loved. And it was that energy.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It was joy and it was creativity and it was warm, like that warm feeling I can't even describe. And it penetrated my whole being. And I was me, but I wasn't my physical me. Mm-hmm. So I was there and I was me, but I had no body and I was surrounded. So when I first woke up, and I'm in this beautiful energy, this beautiful light. And I kind of look around and I'm surrounded by all these divine beings. And again, they presented themselves with an outline because I was just being, or, you know, I was just waking up and being orientated to where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
But they were energy. So we are, and the way that I can explain it is we all were vibrating at a different speed. And with a different light. So we all had a different light and a different speed, including myself. And our energies, our light, all merged together like, you know, beautiful pattern. And that our energy together made up this golden, beautiful white light. And that golden, beautiful white light is love. And that is God. I mean, and we're all connected. We're all one. It's beautiful. And so I'm surrounded by these beings and I had an instant thought, like, where was I? But even before I could get out the W, like the W and where,
mm-hmm.
Boom, instantly, I knew I was home and I knew who these divine beings were around me. So time there doesn't exist as it does here.
Mm-hmm.
There is no time. And so when I talk about my experience, I try to give a chronological order. But everything that happened to me happened at the same time, but it was separate. And I know that's really hard to wrap our minds around. It's even hard for me to this day.
Yeah.
When I talk about my experience, it's really hard for me still to articulate it because I'm not doing it justice. I'm not able to articulate to you, you know, and to the viewer, really that love and that warmth and that peace and that contentment. And it was just beautiful. We don't have the vocabulary. We don't have the colors. We don't have the smells and the sight and the taste. It's magnified beyond what we can imagine here.
Yeah.
So, right. So everything was answered and it, no verbal, it's all mm-hmm. by thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have a question and boom, it was answered. It was an instant knowing, right? It was just like that. And so while this was happening, while I was getting all this information, three messages were given to me over and over. And again, it's really hard to describe because it wasn't like just in my head as a thought. It's through my whole essence, my whole spirit, my whole being that these messages were traveling through, you know, at that, their energy and their vibration and their light that was coming from these divine beings, that was coming from God and Jesus and Mother Mary. And for me, because I was raised Lutheran, they came through to me at first, but during my experience, I was shown that all religion is correct. It's just been interpreted incorrectly by man, you know, due to agenda, due to greed, due to power, due to hate. So I, because of that, I no longer believe in organized religion. That's just my belief. And that's because of my experience, but I'm in there and I'm receiving all this information and I'm getting these three messages. And they're so simple, but they're so profound. And because of those messages and because of the challenges and the loss that I incurred after my experience, those have really helped me transform my life. Those have really helped me to be able to keep that connection to my soul self. Because when we come into this 3D world, we lose that connection. We lose that connection to conditioning that starts when we were children at a young age. You know, we're told this is how you're supposed to act. This is how you're supposed to look. This is how you're supposed to behave. It's conditioning, and we lose who we truly are, and we lose that connection to our soul selves. And that's, you know, I feel like we have to go through those periods to get to where we are now. You know, we have to learn these lessons. We come into this life to learn. We're here to learn and we're here to love. We choose what we want. We have contracts. We have soul contracts. We choose the lessons that we want to learn to evolve our souls, to ascend our souls. And so we come into this life, we put challenges in our way, because we want to learn. Now, when we're here and where we're home, and I call it home, we have free will. So when we come here, we can choose to go this way, or we can choose to go that way, or we can choose to go this way. There's so many different options that you can take. We can choose to live in a victim mentality, or we can choose to look at the situation, try to learn the lesson in that situation, or if it's not a situation where there is a lesson to be learned, try to understand and have compassion within that challenge, to learn from it, grow from it, take what we have learned from that challenge to help others. So maybe when they're going through it, their time's not as difficult. That's our choice. Yeah. That's our free will. Yeah. So it's just all about our perspective and where we're at and in our path on how we're going to react to certain situations that come up. So these three messages that I received over and over again, and again, they're so simple, but they're so powerful, is we are unconditionally loved. And for me, growing up and the circumstances that I grew up in, there were many, many times where I felt completely alone. I felt unworthy. I felt unloved. I felt unlovable, that I was damaged. And that message was just so beautiful and powerful. You know, you're Heidi, you're unconditionally loved. Everyone is unconditionally loved. You're never alone. You may feel alone, but you are never alone. So that message just kept going through. You're unconditionally loved. You're unconditionally loved. The next message is everything will always be all right. Everything will always be okay, no matter what. Everything will always be okay. And I'm sure, Brian, that you've had situations in your life where you've hit rock bottom. You thought it couldn't get worse, and it would never get better. And you always come out of it. You always come out of it, and you come out of it, and you come out stronger.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, something I want to tell you about today. My podcast platform, Buzzsprout, has recently made it easier for me to allow you to support me financially. Go to www.grieftogrowth.com/subscribe. That's grief2growth.com/subscribe. And once you're there, you can sign up to support me financially. Now, you can do it for as little as $3 a month, or of course, as much as you'd like. If you do that, you'll get access to bonus episodes, and you'll see those in the regular feed. They'll have a lock on them. But when you become a subscriber, you'll actually get access to your own private feed, and you'll be able to listen to the regular podcast along with the bonus podcast for the subscribers. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for sharing the podcast. And I want to thank those of you who support me financially. Have a great day, and on to the episode.
So everything will always be okay. So that was the next message. And then the third message was everything will always be, or everything's always how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that one to me was truly and deeply profound. And with that one, I was shown everything that's happened in the past, including everything that happened in the past for me. I wasn't a life review. I was just showing everything that happened up to the point where I was at. I wasn't shown the future. Mm-hmm. Or anything that was going to happen in the future. I was just showing everything that happened in the past. And because of that, I could see the butterfly effect. I could see the trickle effect. I could see why we made choices the way that we made them and how that affected it. And when I send out a thought, when I'm driving in my car and somebody cuts me off and I'm like, oh, you, that thought is energy. And that energy is directed towards that person. That person's going to feel that thought. And they're going to react to that. And the next person they encounter, because of that reaction, it might give a negative reaction to that. I was able to see that everything's connected. But because of that, I was able to see that there's divine order, there's divine planning, and everything's always how it's supposed to be. Hmm. But everything will always be all right.
Yeah.
So these messages were just going through me. And I know out of everything that I was shown, those messages really stuck with me. And I was supposed to come back, integrate those messages. And now I'm at a point in my life where I'm able to talk about my experience and I'm able to use those messages to give hope and to help other people. So after my near-death experience, I went through some challenges, you know, starting with right after I had my experience and I woke up and I told my my ex-husband, who was my husband at the time, that I had a near-death experience. You know, I didn't know at that time what it was called, but that I had woke up at home. I'd woke up in heaven. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he told me that I was crazy. It had to have been a dream. So right then and there, and because how I grew up, I did not have any self-love for myself. I had no voice. I was a doormat. You know, I didn't have any self-worthiness. I decided in that moment that if he didn't believe me, nobody else would believe me. They would all think I was crazy. I was not going to tell anybody what happened. I was not going to tell them about my experience. And it took me about 6 years, 7 years after the fact to actually start talking about it. Yeah. But you know, I slowly started to integrate the experience into my life. And so meaning that I started to understand that I needed to love myself. And I started making positive changes in my life. Hmm. You know, I explored what I like, who I am as a person. I found my voice. Because of that, I lost people along the way. You know, I had changed too much for them. They were used to this timid, quiet person that just took what anybody gave out. And I was changing and I wasn't going to, you know, I loved myself and I expect and I deserve love and, you know, happiness and peace. And do you want me to, I see the blinds. Do you want me to adjust the blinds a little bit?
Adjusting, that's fine. Yeah.
Sorry, Brian. I just noticed that. Excuse me. Okay. So I lost some of my friends, some of my family, including my, husband. Yeah. You know, 3 years later, we got divorced. I just started making changes in my life. So I went through a divorce. After my divorce, I was laid off. You'd mentioned 3 times in 7 years. Mm-hmm. I was in financial, crisis. I had 3 young boys, they were always my priority. They were the most important. And so, you know, thinking that I was going to live out of my car and that I was going to lose them, that was terrifying to me. And I remember I came home one day from work and I got the mail and I opened up the mail. I opened up my letter. It was from my landlord and my rent had gone up. And in that moment, I felt rock bottom. And I remember just falling to my knees and crying and like, what am I going to do? Because I had more going out than what was coming in. Yeah. I was terrified I would be living out of my car and I'd have to give up the boys. And I remember I'm crying and I'm in despair. Mm-hmm. And I, outside of myself, I clearly heard a voice say, "You're unconditionally loved. Hmm. Everything's always as it's supposed to be. Everything will be all right." And I knew right then and there, I knew, you're right. It's going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. So I pulled myself up. I stopped crying. I went to bed. The next morning I got up. I went to the phone book. This is back when we had phone books.
Yeah.
I opened up the phone books and I looked for apartments in Solvang because I was in Santa Barbara at the time. It was the first apartment complex that I saw. I called it. I said, my name is Heidi. I'm looking for an affordable place to rent. I have three boys. You know, I'm a single mother. Do you have any available units? And the property manager said, yes, I do. I actually have one that's open. It's yours if you want it. Why don't you drive on down today and take a look at it? Boom. Just like that. And I had been looking for an affordable place for about 3 months from the last time I was laid off.
Yeah.
So to be in that despair and then to get that message and then this peace and calm just came over me again, like I was back at home and I knew it was okay. And to wake up the next day and to find an apartment like that, he didn't do a credit check. He didn't require a security deposit. 30 days later, you know, we had moved in and wow. I started getting back on my feet. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, for sure.
I experienced losses. My grandfather passed away, who I was very close to. He really was my father figure. My mother passed away. My grandma passed away. I've always had this special connection to animals. And so my cat, who I'd had for 19 years, passed away. My dog passed away. And this was after my near-death experience, like a span of 7 years. So I had these challenges and I had these losses. And I know that gift of going home and being shown the information that I was given and being shown what I saw and receiving those messages really helped me to get through all those experiences and really helped me to be able to forgive the past and forgive my dad and learn forgiveness. Up until that point, I was really, it was really difficult for me to forgive.
Sure.
For me and for my growth, I knew that to love fully, I needed to forgive. Not just for benefiting the person that I'm forgiving, but it's actually for me. Mm-hmm. So by forgiving, I'm benefiting myself.
Yeah.
So this was a powerful, powerful experience for me. I know people have had experiences, near-death experiences that have not been great. You know, I feel like the majority are positive. Mm-hmm. I know people have had experiences that for them were not so good. And I know that in order to have experiences, they went through a lot more traumatizing experience than I went through. Mm-hmm. But I'm so grateful for my experience. And those messages, you know, when that happened to me and I had that experience of, you know, God, mm-hmm. higher source, the divine come through to me and say, you know, remind me of those messages that I was given. Remind me that there was a purpose for those. And I need to share those and I need to pick myself up because I know I've been given that information. That's when I started to really integrate them in and I turned them into affirmations. And so every day I say affirmations, you know, it's not an instant fix, right? You're not going to say a few affirmations every day and your life's going to completely change, but it is going to over time help you change your perspective. Yeah. And again, how we look at things is really going to affect what's happening in our world.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we can choose to be a victim or we can choose to be empowered and live in love and grace and live in our power and to reconnect to our soul selves. So that's a little bit about my experience and why I feel like I was given my experience. Did you have any questions for
me? Yeah, I do have some questions for you. So when you were on the other side, you mentioned that you saw different beings. You saw, you talk about angels, you said Jesus, you saw Mary, you said you saw ascended masters. Would these be people that we know? Are these like Buddha? Or are these, who are the ascended masters?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm really excited to tell you about my latest ebook. It's 4 lessons that you can learn from the near-death experience without going through all the trouble of dying to learn them. I've been studying NDEs for several years now. I am completely convinced that not only are they 100% real, but that there's some very universal wisdom that we can get from the near-death experience. And I've distilled that down in this book into 4 short lessons. And I've also given you all the reasons why I believe the NDEs are absolutely real. So go to www.grieftogrowth.com/NDE lessons to pick it up for free. www.grieftogrowth.com/NDE lessons. I hope you enjoy it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus, Buddha, archangels.
Okay.
Yeah.
And plus my loved ones on the other side too? People that you had known?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. My loved ones were there as well. So I say divine beings because we are all divine beings.
Right, right.
You know, we were all created in the image of the divine, in the image of God. Now, again, everybody has a different belief system and what you call the higher source or the higher power or right. God. For me, it's God. It's just that's my background, how I was raised. You know, that hasn't left, but I call the higher source, a higher power, God. But yes, they were all there.
You know, it's funny. I interviewed PMH Atwater a couple of days ago, and we were talking about the word God. And I also interviewed my friend Penny, who's had several near-death experiences. She was using the word God. And it's almost this apology for using the word God now. It seems like a lot of people, because we're supposed to be like, maybe, I don't know, enlightened past that point or something. But it's the simplest word for the source, you know, or whatever you want to call it, universal source, you know. So I think God's, I mean, for me, it's fine. That's my background too. But we have to get rid of the baggage associated with that, you know, the judgment and the harshness and the, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, because everybody says there's not that. So I understand what you mean when you say, you know, God. You talked about this incredible light, and that's something I think a lot of people try to describe. And when I was talking to PMH, she was mentioning there's like basically like 3 types of light. And she said there's like a bright light, like a, kind of a gold light, like you talked about, and there's like a dark light. So that's interesting that, you know, you had that experience, you know, when you were over there as well. Another question I get a lot of times from people that people have never experienced, were you given a choice to come back, or did you just know you were coming back? Did you fight it? Was there a discussion?
No, and that's a great question. I was not given the choice. I wanted to stay there. I was happy. I was home. I knew, and again, when you're home, it's an instant knowing. You just mm-hmm. have an instant knowing. And I knew that I was home, that's, you know, in this love and this joy and this creativity and this peace and this contentment. I didn't want to come back to the 3D earth plane where there's anger and hate and you know, hunger and poverty and hurt. I did not want to come back here. And I knew, because I had this instant knowing, I knew my babies would be okay. I knew my husband would be okay. I knew my friends and family would be okay. And I knew we'd be together again soon. I had no doubt. So I did not want to come home.
You know, I want to really emphasize that point, because I had a mother just a couple of days ago ask me, because I had done an interview with someone who had a near-death experience, and they weren't given a choice to come back either. But she was saying, okay, was my son given a choice? Her son had passed. Was my son given a choice, and did he choose to stay? And I think a lot of times people think that means they don't love us, or they chose that over us. But, you know, what you just said is, there's a different perspective when you cross over. You know everything's going to be okay. And from our perspective, we're like, but I'm suffering. But you know it's a very short time is different. So you know it's, you know, you're going to be together very soon. So I want to let people know that if your loved one, you know, they may not have been given a choice, first of all, because we only know the people that came back. So we don't know the people that stayed that may have said, I want to come back, and it was just their time. So we don't know that. But we do know also is just that when you get there, you know, and I've heard other mothers say this too. I've got, you know, children. People say, well, a mother would always come back for the children, but you know they're going to be okay. So I want people to really understand that. Don't feel like your loved one chose to stay there because they don't really care about you.
Yeah, and that's really good. And I have actually 2 points on that, because mm-hmm. what you said is, you know, how could a mom not want to come back to her children? And again, because when you're home, you know, we're going to be together again soon and they're right. going to be, and if I'm not there, there is a reason why there's lessons that they need to learn from this.
Yeah.
Right. It's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. I wasn't given the option because, and I have really close connection with my spirit guides and my guardian angel. And they're like, you weren't given the option because we knew you would argue and it wasn't your time. And I would have argued it. I would have been like, no, I'm staying. I'm not going home. So I wasn't given the option. I was back. Right.
Yeah.
And I was angry. When I woke up, the doctor was yelling at me to wake up. And I was so angry. I was angry at him. I was angry at being back in this body. I was cold. Mm-hmm. That warmth was gone. That light, that love, you know, I was in pain. I felt heavy. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like foreign, like it didn't feel like me. I was angry and I wanted to go home, and I had guilt for about 2 weeks after that experience. I wanted to go home and I felt guilty. Now I'm back in this 3D body. I'm back with the ego.
Yeah.
And now I have this guilt because I have these 3 little babies to take care of. And I felt ashamed and guilty inside. I didn't voice this to anybody, you know, because I wanted to go home.
Yeah.
And here I was feeling like I want to go home, yet knowing I have these 3 babies in this family to take care of. I felt this guilt and I felt this shame. And again, if I was at home, I wouldn't have felt that. Yeah. But back in this 3D existence and with our ego, you know, I so easily came back into that reality and where I was before I went home and remembered who I am and where I'm from.
Yeah. Right? Well, you know, so, the thing is, it's hard here. And I think people, you know, you have to think positively, you know, but you know, we can admit it. It's hard here. And I hear people when they come back, they're like, you get stuffed back in your body. And it's like you said, it's cold and it feels uncomfortable and it feels heavy. But the people that do choose to come back, when people are given a choice, what I've always heard, it's not like, oh, I want to go back there because it's so great. It's like, okay, I'll go back because I got something else to do. You know, I haven't finished my job yet, so I'll go back and finish my job. But so I'm looking forward to going home, you know, and I say that freely. I have work to do while I'm here. My daughter, you know, crossed earlier. I think that was for a reason. And I know that, you know, I've got to fulfill my contract, you know, what we came here to do. And I'm on a mission now. So I understand perfectly what you're saying.
No, that's a great point. I get asked too now all the time. It's like, well, then have you thought about committing suicide to go back home? Absolutely not. Because I know that I have things that I need to finish. I know that I have lessons that I need to learn. So no, it was never, I wanted to go home and I longed to go home and I was angry for a couple of weeks because I was back and I didn't get to stay.
Yeah.
But no, I absolutely not have ever considered suicide to go back home.
Right.
That being said, I'm not scared to die. I'm not scared to go back home. Right. I have a little scare, you know, there's a little sense of, I don't want to be in pain when I die.
Right.
Right. But I'm not scared to die.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And you know, people, like I said, when you say things like, I want to go home, people assume you're suicidal, and it's not necessarily that, but it's like looking forward to the best family reunion you can think of. It's like looking forward to Christmas. My daughter loved Christmas. So I tell people, for me, it's like the way she looked forward to Christmas. That's why I look forward to it too. It can't be Christmas right now. It won't be Christmas until it's Christmas, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you kind of touched on this and you said, and I like what you, the way you said it is, you know, we're unconditionally loved. Everything will always be okay. And everything is how it's supposed to be. And that's, you know, it's interesting when you say that, given what you went through before your experience and what you've gone through even since your experience. So especially like with your father, for example, I mean, do you feel like that was the way it was supposed to be?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know that I chose him as a father. Mm-hmm. I chose him because there were lessons that I wanted to learn. You know, I can only talk on my experience based on my experience. I get the question all the time, why do bad things happen to good people? Mm-hmm. I cannot speak to everyone else. I can only speak to my experiences, my life. I've had trauma. I've had loss. I've had challenging times and challenging experiences. I went through a period in my life where I felt victimized. Mm-hmm. And I've chosen now to move on from that. I've chosen to forgive for myself. I've chosen to move on and try to learn something from that mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. And with that, now try to help others because of that. And that gives me a purpose and it makes me feel good. You know, living in that vibration of love and goodness makes me feel good. And I know that I'm helping. I know that I've helped a few people. And so because of that, I know that I'm doing my life purpose and my life mission.
Yeah.
You know, again, for me, and again, this is based on what I learned and my experiences. We can learn, we can live in anger. You know, we can live in a lower vibration, have a perspective of a lower vibration where mm-hmm. you're living in sorrow, where you're living in anger, where you're living in that victim mentality, or we can choose to step outside of that and look towards the light, live in that light and choose to stand in our power and mm-hmm. choose to love. And it's hard, you know, it's not perfect. I struggle with that every day. Yeah. You know, I have a bad day at work and, you know, I get angry at a coworker. You know, I'm not, because we've had a near-death experience doesn't make us any more enlightened or better than anyone else who hasn't had that experience, mm-hmm. right? I was just given that opportunity, given these messages to integrate into my life, then to help others with that. But every day, I'm a human being here. I'm human. And I have struggles and I have challenges and I'm not perfect. If you could hear some of the thoughts that go through my head, you'd be like, oh man, right? Like it's just, we're human beings and we are not perfect, but that's the beauty of it, right? We've heard that saying, we're imperfectly perfect. Yeah. That's when we're here, we're imperfectly perfect. And that's the beauty of it. But our souls are perfect. Our souls are divine. And for me now, I try to every day wake up with that perspective of living up to that divineness, up to that soul level, right? Living in that love and in that compassion and that kindness. So if I can do that, if I can spread a little kindness every day, if I can be compassionate, if I can take a situation where it's challenging for me and look at it from a loving perspective, then I feel like I'm learning my lesson. Then I feel like I'm making the world maybe a little bit better.
Yeah. I think that's really important. You've talked about it's a choice. And, you know, I work with a lot of parents who have lost children through Helping Parents Heal, the organization I joined after my daughter passed. And so when people first hear this idea of soul planning and you say, you know, possibly you planned this, first of all, some people take that as like you're blaming me. You know, it's my fault that this happened, but it's not that. It's not because it's all a matter of perspective. And what I tell people is like, if you don't want to accept soul planning, that's fine. No one's forcing it on you. Whatever works for you. If it makes you feel like a victim, then don't accept it. But for me, it actually more empowers me to know that I planned this, that it was my free will at some point, not as a human being, but as a soul. And then, as you said, to learn the lessons from it and to see how I can take that. And so I have a choice. I can choose to say, you know, it's just random bad things happen to me. Or some people say, oh, maybe God's punishing me. You know, these bad things keep happening to me because I'm a bad person and God doesn't love me, which unfortunately a lot of times organized religion does put that thought into our head. Or we can choose to say, this is a lesson for me. And I'm going to take it and make the best I can with it. And then possibly, hopefully at some point, pass it on and help other people. And so when I talk to people like yourself, and I love talking to people like you, because when people say, oh, soul planning, you know, if someone who can has been through what you've been through and are going through can say, I believe I planned this, then it's like, you know, it's not an easy thing that you chose to do, but you're choosing to make the best of it. And it's a self-sacrificing kind of love. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And you know, it's not just every person we come in contact, there's a reason they were put in our path for a reason. Mm-hmm. And they have their own soul contracts.
Right.
Your daughter has her own soul contract separate from your soul contract.
Yeah. And that's hard for parents to realize.
Right. So yeah, it's not, you know, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, and that's another issue, especially my daughter was 15. And so when you hear parents hear this, it's like, what did I do wrong? You know, and it's like, this was her soul contract. You know, this is what she agreed to do. And we all have our own, and they overlap and they interact and all that stuff. But our children are not our property, you know, and God doesn't punish us by taking our kids away from us. And so that's something that, you know, if anybody ever thinks that for a second, I'm like, just put that thought out of your head. Your son or daughter did not die to punish you. And it's only a tragedy from a human perspective, from this limited perspective we have now, which is why we talk to people like yourselves to kind of help us raise that perspective, to look at it more long-term, to look at it more holistically, and to understand that, you know, in a relatively short time, we will all be together again.
Yes. Yeah. And kind of on that point as well, if you have a parent that lost a child to gang, you know, activity, mm-hmm. where their child was taken away from them senselessly, like, you know, killed. That person, because I'll get that question all the time too, is then how can like somebody has killed someone or have done horrible things to children, how do they get to go home? Right? Because I don't believe in hell. I wasn't shown hell. I don't believe in hell. How do they get to go home? You know, and I kind of touched on it in the beginning. I wasn't given my life review, but I was shown the past, mm-hmm. including mine. Not in a life review where you sit there. A life review is different. When you're in your life review, you're not being judged by God. Mm-hmm. You're not being judged by anyone else. You're not even being judged by yourself. You're going in there in your life review with compassion. You're looking at it with compassion and you're looking at it going, oh, because I did that, I affected the person that way. But I can tell you, when you're in your life review, you're experiencing everything that you put that other person through. Mm-hmm. So every feeling that person felt, you're feeling it. You have to experience everything. And again, this is hard to wrap your mind around. It's not just like you're looking at it like a picture show.
Yeah.
You're actually experiencing it and feeling it. You're feeling how you were feeling at the time you did it, plus everything that they're feeling, even the physical. So mm-hmm. in your life review, you are everything that you did to everyone, anything, even an inanimate object, an animal, you're feeling the effects that you gave out.
Wow.
You then have to heal from that. You know, you have to comprehend what you did, how you made those people feel, how your actions affected another person, another being, another thing. You're having to have to deal with that, live with that in that moment, and heal from that. And yeah. I can tell you, it takes some people a long, 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 long time to heal from what they've done to others in the 3D life.
Yeah.
I can also tell you that we've all had... This is my belief. When I was shown, we've all had lives where we have not been good people. We've all chosen to come in and learn lessons on the other foot, right? So mm-hmm. if you come into this life and you're a saint, you might have had a life where you were a murderer.
Oh, wow.
We've all had lives where we've not been the greatest human beings.
Well, that's not good.
So, well, because, you know, our souls are ascending. We're learning.
Yeah.
You know, we want the whole purpose is to love and to ascend up to that level, you know, of goodness of God.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, you know, to say that, you know, we all have had different types of lives, right? Cause we like to think of ourselves as good people, right? I've never been a bad person. I wouldn't be a bad person, but you know, maybe we're here where we are now because we did do something, you know, in the past and we're trying to live it from a different perspective. So that's a really interesting point.
And again, that's not, there's a lot of people that are going to disagree with that. A lot of people are going to be shaking their head going, no way. This is my perspective. This is from what I learned through my experience. So.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You talked about hell, and I won't get into a big conversation about it, but when I was a kid, you know, I was taught eternal conscious torment, and that's ridiculous. I mean, I'll throw out right away. And then I went to the idea that everybody just goes straight to heaven and it's all just bliss. I'm more of the belief now that when we cross over, we're still the same person that we were. And if we're not ready to move to a loving, self-sacrificing kind of environment, I think there are other places that people might go temporarily till they get better. And if you want to call that hell, I mean, because there are some people having near-death experiences that have less than pleasant experiences. And I think that's just because of where they are when they cross over.
Yeah, my belief on that is when you first pass, you're going in with a belief system.
Yeah.
Right. And so based on your belief system and based on whether or not you're ready to step into the light.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You're going to be where, based on your belief system, you feel that time is you're worthy to be in.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it too. So yeah, it's really fascinating to get a chance to talk to you. As I said, I'd seen your video a couple of years ago, and someone mentioned I should get you on, and I went back to, they said, here's a video, and I'm like, I've seen her. So I'm glad to have an opportunity to do it. I appreciate you getting up early on Saturday to do it as well.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And anytime, if you want to have me back, if you have any questions, if any of your viewers have questions, I'm always open to talk and answer any questions they may have. And
great. I appreciate that. And you have a book, The Book of Affirmations, and I'll mention that again. It's Messages from Heaven, the little book of affirmations based on the true, truth of a near-death experience. Is that right?
Yeah. A little book with a long title.
Okay. So well, you can find it. You can just search for Heidi on Amazon and look for the book there. And I'm going to put some links in the show notes to the affirmation videos you've done and some of your other interviews.
Perfect. Yeah. It's on Kindle. I think it's $3.99. It's 50 pages long.
Okay.
Right. I really need to expand on it. I need to do a revised edition of it, but it just gives a synopsis about my life before, my near-death experience and my life after, and then how I turn those messages into affirmations, and then there's affirmations.
Well, I want to touch on that also, just because I wasn't a big affirmation person until pretty recently, and I think it's really important. So I actually have a gratitude practice now. Every morning when I get up, before I get out of bed, I try to think of three things I'm grateful for. And I can tell you, it really does help. It's really a matter of perspective. And if you can actually get to a point where even the obstacles, you're like, okay, the obstacles are here to help me grow. So you're not going to be happy that, you know, you can't pay the bills this month, but you can maybe start to see the lessons and everything, which is just a really much better perspective to live from.
Yes. And it's interesting you say gratitude, because a part of affirmations is gratitude. Yeah. You have to have gratitude in your heart, right? You have to be thankful. We have to be thankful. We may be, you know, my apartment may be small. It's not a big house that maybe the Joneses have, but I'm thankful that I have a warm, safe place for myself and for my boys. We have to have that gratitude. Yeah. So in my book, it's affirmations and it's gratitude.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Yeah. Great. Well, Heidi, thanks very much for doing this. I've really enjoyed it. I'm going to, I'll let you know when I put the episode up. I'll send you links to everything.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Have a good day.
I will. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. I wanted to let you know about something new I'm doing with the podcast. I signed up recently for Patreon. And what Patreon is a way that you can support me financially and I can deliver to you exclusive content. So you may have noticed I've done some bonus episodes in the past, and I'll continue to do those. But those will go onto the Patreon site and you'll be able to get access to them by becoming a regular supporter. For as little as $5 a month, you can get access to the bonus episodes. And also a Patreon, you can interact with me and ask me questions. And those questions could be included in future bonus episodes. So check it out. It's www.patreon.com/grieftogrowth. That's grief, the number 2, growth. Thanks a lot for all your support, and I hope you keep listening. This has been another episode of Grief to Growth, and this is your host, Brian Smith. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I am a life coach and grief partner. You can reach me at www.grieftogrowth.com. That's www.grief2growth.com. And if you'd like, you can book a free half-hour consultation. The other thing I'd like to ask for is your support for the podcast. If you could go to iTunes and leave a review, that would be wonderful. And if you'd like to support me financially, you can support me for as little as 99 cents per month. And you can find the link to do that in every episode. Hope you have a great day.
Hey there, if you liked this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you liked. If you didn't like this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you didn't like. Go to grieftogrowth.com/community and look for Talk About the Podcast. I'll see you there.